Amen. Matthew chapter number 10, if you would please. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see y'all out. Appreciate Brother Robert leading singing tonight. Appreciate both classes as well, singing the special, and not just that, but all the work that they do around the church. Many of them, I can't speak too much for the future leaders because I don't teach that class, but the college and career class, I know for sure about all of them is plugged into something. And so I sure appreciate them very much and all the work that they do. I don't tell them that very often because they can get big heads really quickly. And so I try to deflate it every so often. But I really do appreciate my class and all the work that they put in around the church. They're a blessing to us. That's all I'm going to say about that before they get big heads. All right, so Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 34, if you would please. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 34, we'll kind of put this all together here in just a moment, but let's start reading in verse 34 of Matthew chapter number 10. It says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Last verse, verse 39. "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." You ever heard the phrase, "Nothing in life is free"? You ever heard that? How many of you have told your kids that? So nothing in life is free, is it? And, you know, the thing about serving God that's often left out is the fact that serving God comes with a cost. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. You know, you find yourself in a position to where you want to sell how good it is to serve God. You know, you only want to say the good things, right? If you've ever had a salesman in your house, they only tell you the good things, right? And they try to avoid the bad things. But, you know, we ought to be honest that serving God is not, it's not cost-free. There is a cost involved. But, you know, on the other side of that, we have to clearly state the fact that just as serving God comes with a cost, running from God is not free either. And so here's the title tonight: Buyer Beware, You Will Either Pay the Cost or You'll Pay the Fare. So let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you already for the good service that we've had this morning and for the songs tonight. To thank you, as always, for the college and career class and the future leaders class, and thank you for all of them. And I pray that tonight, as we look into your word, that you might just help us to receive exactly what you would have for us, that we might walk away with something here tonight. And I just pray that you would be with the rest of it, be with the invitation time as it commences here after a while. And we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You all can be seated. You know, like I said, I'm sure that many of you have done the same thing that I have. You know, we want people to come to church, don't we? We want people to come to Calvary Baptist Church, and we ought to love our church. We ought to love our pastor. We ought to love, you know, there might be some things that we would rather change, and that's okay, but I think overall, we should love our church, and we should be good testimonies for our church, and we should want other people to be part of it. I would love nothing more than to see the city of Knobnoster out in the parking lot tonight waiting to hear from God. It's probably not going to happen, but I would love to see that, and I hope that you all would too. But we fall in this trap to where, you know, if you've been saved for a while and you want to see others and you have a burden to see others, you only want to tell them the good stuff. And you want to say things like, you know, wouldn't it be great to have a home in heaven? Well, yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want that? Wouldn't it be great to have peace through the crises that you have in your life? Well, yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want that? Wouldn't it be great to have joy in the blessings that God has given you? That'd be good to have. Are y'all tracking with me so far? And we tend to sell the good things, all the while leaving out the hardships. And leaving out the fact that just like those who are not saved, we who are saved will still endure trials. We leave out the fact that, you know, sometimes as Jesus is talking here in Matthew chapter number 10, there's going to be people in our lives that we're set at variance with by taking up our cross. Because to claim the cross means to not claim everything else. And so you're naturally going to have enemies. You're naturally going to have people who want to fight against you. And some of us in the room might even have friends and family now that no longer want to talk with you because you're a Christian. And that is part of the cost, is it not? That's part of the cost. Now, what I'd like to do is I want to kind of key in on this phrase here that we see in Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 38. Here's what it says: "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." And the phrase I want to look at is "taketh his cross." And now in that verse it says "not," but that similar phrase, "take up thy cross," as we'll see in other places. Now, as we know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels of Christ, and they record different aspects and different accounts from the life of Christ. Now, I'll say this every chance I get, but the Gospels is not story time. Okay, these are not stories about Christ. This is the accounts of Christ. And four men who saw with their own eyes the life of Christ lived out. And in three of those, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as we'll look at here in just a second, that phrase is used, "take up thy cross." And I want to look at each of those, and it'll go by pretty quickly. But the first one we've already done, Matthew chapter number 10, verses 34 through 38. It says in verse 38, "Once again, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." And point number one here, the cost of carrying the cross, is that the cross is divisive. The cross is divisive. I've already led into it a little bit, but we've experienced, some of us in the room, some friends and family that don't want to talk with us anymore. We've experienced some people-related problems in our life that are only a result of the changes God has made in your life. Because listen, friend, when you accept Christ, some changes should happen. Some things in your life should change. Your behavior should change. The stuff that you listen to should change. Even the clothes that you wear should change. All of these things are wrapped up together. God doesn't change certain parts and leave other parts alone. That's not accepting Christ. Accepting Christ means to change not just who you are now, but who you're planning to be in the future. You can't change the past, can you? Oh, come on. You can't change the past. There's some folks in the room who weren't saved until later in life. You can't go back and change your past. But accepting Christ means opening up a whole new future. And that automatically causes division. And it causes some folks to not have a relationship with you like they normally would. Does that make sense to everybody so far? And so in Matthew chapter number 10, we see that the cost of the cross is divisive. It's division is what it is. Let's look at the second instance in Matthew chapter 16, just a few pages over, I think. Matthew chapter 16, we'll read a few verses here and look at this second phrasing, the second part of this. Now, let me just say, I could spend a long time on each of these points, but you're going to get the reduced version, okay? Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21, here's what it says. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned," that's Jesus, "but he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Seems harsh, but let's keep reading here in verse number 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and what? And take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, the second cost of carrying the cross means denial of self. Denial of self. Let's look back at the verse here in verse number 24. "If any man will come after me, let him deny" who? Himself. Carrying the cross means saying no to me. It means saying no to the guy or the gal in the mirror. Which is ironic because it seems the person in the mirror is the only one that I want to please. Naturally. You know, you don't have to look very far to understand this, do you? If you don't want to look at yourself, that's okay. Let's talk about other people, okay? And we all know people at work who only care about themselves. We all have friends, or we all have family, or we all know people that the only person that they care about is themselves. And they'll run over anybody else to make sure that they are taken care of, to make sure that their wants are fulfilled, their needs are fulfilled. Are y'all tracking with me here so far? But carrying the cross, the cost of it means to tell myself no. If I'm going to be a Christian, if I'm going to be someone who carries my cross, I have to understand the fact that if I'm going to pick up that cross, I have to put down myself. And listen, I'm not talking about self-esteem tonight, okay? I'm not saying you walk around saying, woe is me, in sackcloth and ashes. That's not what we're talking about. Because you understand that self-esteem is something that is very convoluted today, but God places value on every person. There's no reason to have low self-esteem. There's no reason to allow the things that people say about you to impact your emotional well-being. I know that we do, don't we? We allow the things that people say about us to hurt our feelings. I'm not diminishing that. But what I am saying is that the God of heaven desires nothing more than for you to know that He loves you and cares about you. But at the same time, He loves you too much to just leave you there. And taking up your cross and walking with Him means that I'm willing to look at myself and say, I'm not going to do what I want to do. That's what it means. The cost of carrying the cross means denial of self. Let's look at the third one here, Mark chapter number 8. Y'all hanging in there so far? Mark chapter number 8. I'm going to fly through these and then make a point here at the end. Mark chapter number 8. We're going to read verse number 34 here. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. Here's what it says. And when He had called the people unto Him, with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Here's what I want you to notice about this one. It says in verse 34, and when He had called who? The people. The people. The cost of carrying the cross wasn't just for the inner circle disciples. Here's what I mean. So the previous two times we saw this phrase, it was to the disciples Jesus said this to. The inner circle. Right? The initial 12. But God calls all of us to bear the cost. Can I bring it to 2024 here at Calvary Baptist Church? It's not just the pastor's job to take up his cross. It's not just the deacon's job. It's not just those in leadership. All of us, every day, need to take up our cross. Regardless of your position in the church, regardless of the roles and responsibilities you have, all of us are called to take up the cross. I wonder, I can't prove this, this is just me musing here. I wonder if there were some disciples that when they heard Jesus direct this message, I wonder if there was a disciple who maybe in the back of their mind thought, well, that message is for Peter and James and John. Now, they all sacrificed to be there, did they not? All 12 of them sacrificed to be with Jesus for those 3 years or so that they were with Him. But in Mark chapter number 8, we see that Jesus made a point to call the people unto Him. Now, this is the very same account that we brought up here a second ago from Matthew chapter number 16. And we know that because in verse number 32, and Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him. Y'all remember that from the previous passage? And then in verse 33, but when He had turned about and looked on His disciples, He rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind Me, Satan. Y'all remember that from just a second ago? And so Mark makes a point to write something that Matthew didn't. Now, that does not mean there's a contradiction in the Scriptures. Okay, that's not what that means. It means that Mark made a note of something that Matthew didn't. That's all that that means. But I think it's interesting that Mark's note is to note the fact that Jesus was directing that message toward all the people there. Because Jesus cares that everyone, all children of God, everyone who has been saved, that they take up their cross. It matters to God that you're willing to identify with Him. Because after all, He gave His Son for you. I think it's fair for Him to ask of us that we identify with Him. The cost of the cross is not just for the inner circle disciples. Let's look at Mark chapter number 10, a page or two over. We're on number 4 here, flying right along. Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 17. We might be more familiar with this one. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.'" Verse 21, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." I love that, don't you? "Loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Number 4, the cost of the cross means denial of possessions. Denial of possessions. Now, this passage does not mean you have to sell everything and be destitute to get to heaven. That's not what this means. Because Jesus has an advantage that no preacher could ever have, and that is Jesus knew exactly what this man needed to hear. You know, there's been several messages that pastor has preached over the years, and I was pretty sure he was reading my mail. I was pretty sure that he got some inside info as to my life. I'm still not convinced that he hasn't. But I do know that not every message has impacted my life in a way that it seemed like that. Does that make sense? But Jesus' message, everywhere he aimed, he hit. Because he knew exactly what the listener needed to hear. Jesus, again, is not saying that you can only go to heaven if you sell all of your stuff. He's telling this young man, you have to be willing to deny the thing that you care about the most. And you see at that last verse we read, I believe it's verse number 22 if I remember correctly, and he was what? Sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. This man was owned by his possessions. He didn't own his stuff owned him. And so the cost of the cross means to say no, means to deny the possessions. Can I put it to you this way? I wonder if there's somebody in the room that cares more about possessions than serving God. I wonder if there's somebody in the room who cares more about their career than they do serving God. I wonder if there's someone who's more willing to pick up overtime at work than to be at church on time on Wednesday. I wonder if there's somebody in the room like this man. Don't you think it's possible? Listen, the cost of the cross means to deny some things. Means to deny some things. If you're going to take up your cross, you better be willing to pay the cost. Let's look at number 5 here. Luke chapter number 9. If you would please, Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23. You're doing great. Keep at it. We're about there. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Let's look at a word that Luke adds to his account. Luke 9, 23. It says, "And he said to them all, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross,'" what? We haven't read that word yet, have we? But I think it's a point worth making. Anybody can pick up a cross on a Sunday. Anybody can show up the seventh day out of the week and profess to be a cross bearer. There's few that make it all 7 days. You tracking? Anybody can wax eloquent on a Sunday. Amongst friendly territory. That's easy. What's not so easy is when you've had a long week and going to work on Thursday, when you haven't read your Bible that day, and you got up late, and the kids are being crazy, and everything's just getting on your nerves. It's not so easy to pick up the cross that day, is it? Come on. It's not as easy. But in Luke chapter 9, verse number 23, to take up the cross means to take it up daily. And to follow him, by implication, means to follow him what? Daily. Carrying the cross is not a spontaneous event. It's a daily decision. daily, every single day, deciding that I'm going to take up my cross today. You don't have to say it that way. If you want to, that's fine. But waking up every day and saying, I'm going to serve God today. Regardless of how the boss treats me, I'm going to serve God today. Regardless of whether I feel like God spoke to me or not, yet so far today, I'm still going to serve Him. Regardless of whether I'm in fear of being laid off from work, I'm still going to serve God. Are y'all with me? Are y'all okay? Amen. Serving God is a daily thing, and it bears a cost. It bears a cost. There might be, I don't know, I might just be speaking for myself, but there might be some people that are more in tune with looking at what happened in the news the day before than opening their Bible. These are daily things that we have to decide we're not going to do until we speak to God first. I'm not as good of a husband until I've spent time with God. I'm not as good of a father until I've spent time with God. I'm not as good at anything in my life. Any role that I have, I'm not as good at. There are people who can pass by, but would you rather be an average Christian or would you rather be an exceptional one? Take up thy cross daily. Let's look at the last one, Luke chapter 14. And by last one, I do not mean that I'm almost done. But y'all knew that, didn't you? I like to lure you in with a bait and switch. Anyway, so Luke chapter 14, verse number 27. Let's actually back up to verse number 25. Luke 14 and verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my what? Disciple. Follower. There are a lot of people who say a lot of things, but there's not a lot of doers, are there? There's a lot of people that I'm sure when Jesus came to town, they were maybe sitting towards the front. And they were agreeing with what Jesus had to say. And they oohed and aahed at all the miracles he did. But when Jesus left town, they were just like everybody else. That's not a disciple. That's not a disciple. But for those who are willing to take up their cross, and for those who are willing to deny themselves and to deny possessions and all the things that we've covered so far, that makes you a disciple. And I think sometimes it might be good to remind ourselves of the fact that we're not living life for ourselves. And every day, the decisions that you make, you're buying something. You're buying something. You're either buying the cost it takes to serve God, or you're paying the fare to run away. You know, in all six of these passages, we see that carrying the cross will cost us some things. But what is not described in these passages is what I'm calling the fare of running from the cross. Turn over with me to Jonah chapter number 1, if you would please. In our college and career class, I'm doing a series on Jonah, and it's been beneficial so far. And it took me back to a few years ago when Elizabeth and I were teaching junior church. We taught the 8 to 12-year-olds class for about 4 years or so. And one of the downsides of teaching 8 to 12-year-olds was every time I would say, open your Bible, someone inevitably would raise their hand and say, Mrs. Alder already taught that. And they would tell me all the ways that Mrs. Alder could teach it better than I could. And nothing humbles you more than an 8-year-old saying, I've already heard that. So that's where we're at. But anyway, so Jonah chapter number 1, even though Mrs. Alder has already taught this, let's look at verse number 1 here. We're just going to read the first couple of verses. Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the what? Paid the fare thereof. and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That's where I got that phrase from. He paid the fare, didn't he? Rather than choosing to pay the cost of verse number 2, when God came to him and gave him a very specific command, did he not? He said, arise, go to Nineveh. Pretty specific, wouldn't you say? Jonah knew exactly what he was supposed to do. He knew exactly who was talking to him. He knew exactly who God was. But instead, in verse number 3, famously, he ran away. So let's look at three things real quickly about Jonah and about paying the fare. Number one, God has something to say to his children. We have to start there, don't we? Just like how God went to Jonah and gave him specific instructions, God does the same thing for us, does he not? If you're holding a Bible in your lap, say amen. God has given you 66 books of divine revelation that is binded up into one divine library. Each book has a character, it has a plot, it has a theme, it has everything a literary style demands to be called a book. It has all of those things, and each of them points us to one person, and that is God. And God has something to say to us in those 66 books. He tells us how we should live our life. He tells us the people we should stay away from. He tells us how we should even conduct our finances. He tells us the music we should listen to. He tells us everything that we could ever want to know about life. He tells us. Just because it doesn't say, Mason, thou shalt not, doesn't mean it's not in the Bible. You have to be able to use the Spirit of God within you and the wisdom and discernment of the tools around you to determine exactly what I should do. It takes a little bit of critical thinking, doesn't it? And that's the part that people want to leave out, don't they? Well, God didn't explicitly say, God gave you a brain, figure it out. At a certain point, we have to take ownership of these things and say, God has something to say to me. To me. Don't wait for pastor to preach it. Learn it. And study it and see what God has to say yourself. God came to Jonah and said, arise, go to Nineveh. And there's commands just like that that you and I should heed every day. There's things in our life. The Holy Spirit of God pricks your heart and says, you should talk to this person. But I fear many times we're so quick to run away that we don't even let God finish speaking. Because we know instinctively that when God comes to us, it's going to cost us something. And we don't like that. I say we collectively. I'll drag myself down with you. But God has something to say to his children, just like he did in Jonah chapter number 1. Secondly, I want you to notice this. When you want to flee from paying the cost, Satan will always provide a way. Look with me in verse number 3. Jonah's made the decision to run. He says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. Wow, a ship just appeared. It didn't, did it? Hey, when you're looking for a way out of God's will, Satan will always open the door for you. If you decide that you're not going to deny self, if you decide that you're not going to pay the cost, Satan will say, come aboard. Yeah. Plenty of room. Yeah. And I don't want to give Satan too much credit because a lot of times we're looking for a way out anyway. Because we know that serving God's hard. We know that there's maybe some other things we could be doing on Sundays. Anybody have house chores they could be doing right now? Anybody have other things? Some folks in the room have missed family reunions. Some folks have missed things that are important to them because they realize that the cost of serving God is greater than that thing. But it's still a cost. Still a cost. But listen, don't miss the point. When you want to escape the cost, Satan will always provide a way. Number 3, like Jonah, fleeing from God will force us to pay a fare. Let's finish the verse in verse number 3. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Satan, Jonah made an intentional transaction, did he not? Why do I keep saying that? I guess it was Satan. But Jonah, when he boarded that ship going down to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, as the verse says twice, from the presence of the Lord, he made an intentional transaction. I can just picture in my mind, and maybe you can too, Jonah arrives at this at the gatekeeper or the person who is in charge of admission onto the ship. I don't know exactly what that looked like, but maybe the man standing there said, it'll be this much. And Jonah, in his mind, is rehearsing what God said to him in verse number 2. Arise, go to Nineveh. Arise, go to Nineveh. And Jonah reached in his pocket and said, here you go, get me on this ship. Now listen, our lives aren't necessarily that dramatic all the time, is it? It's not like every time you get ready to disobey God, some guy appears and says, $5. That would be easy. Right? Get thee behind me, Satan. Whack! You know, that would be easier. But listen, the fare that we have to pay is not of currency, is it? What I want you to understand is the fare that Jonah paid was not the money in his pocket. It was the presence of his Lord. And as you read Jonah chapter number 1, from verses 4 all the way down to verses 17, you see the fare that Jonah paid. He put those seamen in danger of their lives. They thought they were going to die. There were families in Joppa that could have lost their husband and father because Jonah decided to run from God. You ever thought about that? When Jonah boarded that ship and all the men are thinking, we're going to die. They're casting stuff overboard and they're starting to row themselves and they're doing everything possible to survive this tempestuous sea and survive the winds and survive what was ultimately the judgment of God on one man who decided that instead of helping, he's going to sleep in the sides of the ship. He about cost this crew their lives. But we never know where that fare that we paid is going to end. You pay the fare because you don't want to pay the cost, but you don't know where the trip is going to take you. Does anybody think that's a good trade? Because serving God, when you pay the cost to serve God, you know it's going to end in His perfect will. You know it's going to end in having peace in your life and having contentment in your life and having the fruits of the Spirit that we read of in Galatians chapter number 5. And in having something that everybody in the world attains to have but will never get. And then it ends with heaven. I'll take that. I'll sign up for that trip. But instead, we decide to run from God and pay the fare and say, anywhere but here. It's crazy. But that's our flesh, isn't it? Why is it important to serve God? Because of all the other things I could list, how about the fact that you know exactly where you'll end up? Oh, listen, you may not know if you're surrendered to the ministry like I am. I don't know where I'm going necessarily geographically on a map. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know that as long as I'm in His perfect will, that's where I'll end up. And I know that anywhere in the center of that will is good enough for me. But when you pay that fare, you have no idea where that's going to take you. Jonah thought that he was paying the fare to go to Tarshish. He wound up in the belly of a whale. That doesn't sound like fun, does it? Listen, our lives are full of opportunities to succeed or fail. Succeed or fail. Our obedience to God and to His Word, that's what sets apart cost versus fare. Here's what I mean. When you decide that you're going to obey God, you're going to obey the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, you're going to obey His Word to the best of your ability, then paying the cost seems a lot less than what we make it out to be. You know, people, I notice that the people that complain about missing church are the people who aren't fully committed to serving God. Funny how that works. I notice that people who are willing to pay the fare to run away from God don't actually know who He is. When you've been saved for a long time and God's brought you through some things, you're willing to pay the cost a little bit more. It comes down to this. You can choose to pay the cost to serve God, or you can choose to pay the fare to run away. That's the two options. You're either going to serve God or you're not. You're either going to pay the cost or you're going to pay the fare. That is the two choices. I did a little bit of time here, so I didn't tell my parents I was going to do this, but I want to kind of share some things, okay? And that is this. So I remember when my parents got saved here. I was 10, and so I got to see all the changes that happened in our house. And let me tell you, they happened quick. They happened quick. When my parents got saved, all of a sudden, all the stuff that I liked quickly disappeared. The music that we listened to, the shows, the DVDs. Yeah, I'm old. The DVDs, the VHS tapes, okay, all those things, they disappeared. All the things that I liked were gone. And I noticed also that the things that what my parents wore, their wardrobe changed. All of those things just happened. It was like a wave. And that benefited me more than I'll ever know. Because I got to see with my own eyes how God changed my parents' life. And a first and second generation Christian is much more likely to pay the cost. Because either they've experienced the change of God in their life in a dramatic way, or they saw it happen. Does that make sense? I've noticed that when I went to Bible college a while ago, there were a lot of people there that were what I call generational Christians, right? Their dad was a preacher, their grandpa was a preacher, their grandpa's grandpa's grandpa came out with a Mayflower and he was a preacher. Those kinds of families. And that's great to leave a legacy. I'm not trying to make fun of that. But I noticed that it was a lot of those types of folks that wound up getting saved later. They made a profession, and then later on in life, they got saved. And I wonder if it's because they never saw the cost. Does that make sense? If this happened to you, I'm not talking about you, okay? That's not what I'm getting at. I'm just saying that it's beneficial sometimes to remember the cost. To remember where sin was taking you and where God has led you. Amen. That's all I'm saying tonight. I'm not trying to knock generational Christianity. I'm just saying that paying the cost versus paying the fare, we ought to take note of these things. And we ought to say, I would rather serve God than to pay the fare. I would rather end up with God than wherever this sin is taking me. Nobody plans on some of the terrible things that happened in their life because they made one wrong decision. Nobody plans on entering a marriage and then that marriage failing because of adultery. Nobody plans on that. But it happens because one of the two decided to pay the fare. And it led them somewhere that they were not ready to go. Nobody plans on taking a drink of alcohol and then becoming an alcoholic and taking someone else's life on the highway. Nobody plans for this stuff. But listen, one decision. Just one is all it takes. So I'm just saying tonight that every opportunity you have in life, every day you have, you're doing one of two things. You're paying the cost to serve God or the fare to run away. There's no gray area. Everybody today wants to find the gray area, don't they? Well, I know that's the rule, but I'm the exception. No, you're not. You're serving God or you're not. No gray areas. God's word is very clear. Take up thy cross and follow me. If you're not doing that, then you're paying the fare. Serving God is good. Amen. Serving God is good. It's good every day if we're willing to pay the cost. Let's all stand if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank you for your attention tonight.